her husband also, and he praiseth her. And really, that's what mothers, I believe that's what you're striving for, is you're striving for that. And listen, I'm blessed to have a good mother. I don't know if she's watching this morning, but hi, Mom, if she's watching this morning. I understand what it's like to have a supportive, yet stern sometimes, godly and loving mother who did her best with what she had to work with, which was this guy. I'm thankful also that my sister, who came years after me, was much easier, all right? As much as she got some reprieve from that. I'm also thankful and equally blessed to have a lovely wife and mother of my children. And she is able to smooth out all of the character flaws, maybe not all, but most of the character flaws that they got from me. All right, she's able to smooth a lot of those out. And I'm thankful for those mothers to be an example, along with the scripture, in my life. And listen, there is a great need in America and our churches for godly mothers. For godly mothers. Listen, there's not a great need for perfect mothers, because those don't exist. Just like perfect fathers don't exist. Perfect mothers don't exist. But there's a need for godly examples in our communities, in our churches, for godly mothers who are doing their best to serve God and to be the mother that God wants them to be. There's a need for it. Like I said, it's like when you see all these athletes and they win a big game and they get the camera put right on their face. And I'm thinking, man, all these dads, all these years, teaching them how to throw a ball, teaching them how to catch a ball, how to run, how to do all this stuff, how to be tough. The sports often takes and competitiveness. And as soon as the camera gets on them, they go, "Hey, Mom, love you." You can't underestimate the influence that a mother has in this world. You can't overstate it. You can't make too big of a deal about it. If you would, this morning, turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 this morning. We're going to preach out of Titus 2. When the Lord kind of led me in this direction, I was thinking, that's a different direction, Lord, but that's what he led. We're going to go with it and trust that the Lord certainly knows what he's doing more than I do. But in Titus chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1 this morning. The Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And I want to preach out of Titus chapter 2 this morning. I want to preach on a sound mother, a sound mother. If you look in the passage in verse number 1, it says, these are the things that are sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. These are, in verse number 2, the aged men are to be sound in faith. And we didn't read it, but down in verse number 8, talking of the young men, they are to have sound speech. All right? And to have something that's sound is something that's whole, something that's right, something that is founded in truth. It is something that is grounded, has some roots, has something of stability. It is sound. And so this morning, I want to preach on a sound mother out of Titus chapter 2. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. We'll ask the Lord to bless the message, and then we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Lord, thank you for the mothers that are here. And Lord, mothers of all circumstances and situations and ages, Lord, some that are just starting their journey as mothers, some that have been mothers for many years and now have grandchildren and great-grandchildren of their own. Lord, thank you for the mothers that are here. Thank you for their influence. Lord, thank you for the godly mothers that are doing their best. And Lord, we know that all you've ever asked of us as soldiers and as servants of Christ and as your children, Lord, and certainly mothers, is, Lord, you just ask us to do your best, to do our best, Lord, that we can, Lord, with your help and with your grace. And Lord, thank you for all of the good things, Lord, that have come of mothers who have given themselves to you and, Lord, have done their best to raise their children. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the message. Lord, nothing will come across this morning as off-putting or, Lord, that there needs to be some certain mold, but Lord, that you would work and move this morning. Lord, I ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people, but we would thank you when we leave, knowing that you spoke to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I understand the message this morning is for mothers. It's about mothers, but there is a lot to glean if you're not a mother in here, male or female. You can realize that if you had a mother that was attempting or doing her best to be a sound mother, that, boy, you can be thankful. You can be thankful. And if you're in here and the mother of your children is trying her best to be a sound mother, then you can be thankful. You can be thankful for that. And of course, you can think about your own mothers and what they've done in your life and how they've done their best for you. And so I understand that there are all kinds of situations in this life, all right? And so we can't possibly cover all situations of everything. So we're just going to talk about the Bible. All right, and we're gonna kind of talk about the best case scenario, what God would desire of us, and we're kind of got to preach on that and make some application this morning for mothers. So here in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse number 4, there's a list of things that young women with children are to be taught and to strive to live. All right, we see that in verse number 4. We see down there it says to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, it's making some assumptions here. Now, this is a good list for a godly woman of any age and of any circumstance. Yeah. All right, now, I understand that not every woman gets married and not every married woman have children. But for today, for Mother's Day, we're going to look at the passage and we're going to make application from a mother's perspective. A mother's perspective. So there's this idea of what I'm going to call a sound mother. And we can glean these things starting in verse number 4. I'd like to say this firstly, that a sound mother is to be sober. All right, we can get it right. These aren't going to be hard. All right, I'm going to give them some different, maybe, words to put together here, but we're going to draw these right from the passage as Paul tells Titus, all right, here's what's supposed to happen. All right, these young women, they need to learn and understand and grow into some roles and grow into their responsibilities as God has placed on them. And so this is supposed to be taught from the aged women who have tried as well to do this. Listen, an aged woman, a woman that has some years on her, that has tried to live for the Lord and tried to have some understanding of what it meant to be a godly woman. She might not have done everything perfect, but she's going to have some experiences and some things to teach. Amen. And it's important that we understand that. It's important that we understand that those that go before us, they know some things that we don't. Even if someone has done it wrong, they've learned what not to do. And if anyone's willing to impart that wisdom to us, I'll take it. I'll take it. Listen, I never want to get to the place in my life as a father or as a husband or as a pastor or as a friend where I can't listen to somebody else say, hey, this is what I've done, good and bad, and this is what I would recommend. Amen. I don't ever want to get to a place where I can't take counsel from somebody else, especially from the Word of God, Amen. Where I think I have it so figured out that I can't go to the Word of God and have it teach me something in my life. And so the first thing here that is in the list is that a sound mother is to be sober. All right, now this idea to be sober, we use this word often dealing with alcohol, right? And so, yes. I'll just say yes, all right? A sound mother, one that is attempting to be godly, one that is attempting to be the best she can be for her mother, should stay away from alcohol. All right, but there's much more of a broader definition than what we have narrowed it down to in our terminology today. One of, to be sober is one that is, well, one of the definitions was to not be mad or insane. And that was much more than I wanted to chew this morning, all right? That was much more than what I wanted to get into. We'll just go to some of the other definitions. I just thought that was humorous. All right? Don't be mad or insane. All right? Amen. But some of the other definitions to be sober were to be temperate, to be calm, to be reasonable. And you know what I found out? My wife's testimony and observation is there is a maturing that happens to a young woman when she has children. Whether by design or not by design, whether you were ready for it or not, there is a maturing that having children brings, and there should be a soberness to the responsibilities of life that a person now has. There is a weight and a gravity to life in new roles as you hold that baby the Lord has entrusted you with. I remember when we had our children, and the child would be born and usually given to the mother and placed there with the mother. And not long after that, you know, the dads, we're just kind of there hanging out. You know, we have to sit in that super uncomfortable chair, you know, so we're like, I guess I need to be more sober. Don't be insane. That's pretty wise, though, because a lot of you husbands, you just sat there like, I'm not doing it. This is Mother's Day. He can hang himself. I am not amening or doing anything. You're up there on your own, Pastor. You're on an island. When that baby is born and there's this realization that God has given you this child and God has given you this responsibility, and now it's yours, and in a couple days, all the nurses, they're like, see you later, and they make sure your car seat works, at least that's how it happened back in the day, they make sure your car seat locks in, and they say, see ya, and you just drive off with this new life that you have, and especially first-time parents, you're just going, we have no clue what we're doing. And if you think you do, you need to realize you have no clue. I got this all. Listen, I was the best parent ever before I had kids. And then I had kids and I realized, man, this whole thing right here is something entirely different. A sound mother embraces her life with a soberness and a seriousness to know that she needs the Lord's help in this new endeavor. A mother's influence is never done. It's never finished as a mother's influence. And there should be a sound mother should have a little bit of soberness. I'm not saying that we take all the fun out of life or that we can never enjoy things. I don't mean any of that, because that's not true. I just mean when it comes to motherhood, there should be a little bit of seriousness, a little bit of soberness to say, okay, this is a responsibility that God has now given and placed on me to learn how to embrace that challenge and embrace those things that come about. And so a sound mother is to be sober. I like to say this also. A sound mother should be selfless. A sound mother should be selfless. In verse number 4, it says this, to love their husbands and to love their children. Proverbs chapter 31 says this about the mother and the wife there. It says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She looketh well to the ways of her house. A selfless mother, often in love, put her wants aside for those that are around her. And you see that over and over and over and over again in motherhood, is often wants and desires are put off to the side so that others around her can have what they need or what they want. I'd like to say this, though. Every sound mother that I've ever been around has never portrayed this selflessness as a sacrifice. As a sacrifice as if she is just getting the worst end of the deal. Every sound mother that I've been around considers it a privilege to be able to love and to provide for who the Lord has put into her care. And I understand we all have pride. We're all selfish in our own right. We can do our best for others, and we can do our best to care for others. But there is something inside of us that still likes ourselves a lot. But understanding when the Lord gives us these responsibilities and we have these in our lives now, that we give up some of the things of self. Listen, when you get married, and if you have been or will be in some of my premarital counseling, it is this idea of, listen, when you get married, it's not you anymore. It's not you singular anymore. It's you together now. There is an idea of you don't always get what you want. And you have to make things work, and you do that out of love. And that's where the world gets it messed up. They often base relationships on lust. And when all the lusts of the flesh aren't fulfilled, then, well, I can't believe this would be the way it should be. But when we have an understanding of biblical love, that changes everything. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says charity. It uses the word charity instead of love. Why? Because it's the perfect word. Love is sacrificial. Love is giving. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive, and yet a lot of people don't believe that. And when it comes to loving, when it comes to responsibilities, when it comes to what God has done for us, we should love and we should be selfless in what God has given us to do. Listen, there is more fulfillment in obeying and following the Lord's will than anything else in this world. Amen. Than anything else. And we could write the list down, right, of all the other things. Well, if I just had this, and if I had this other thing, and if I was just in this position, and if I just was reached this one of my goals, and if we could have this, and if we just, I'm not talking sinful things. I'm just saying goals in this life that we can look to achieve, and we can desire to have, and some comforts and some good things and some stability in this life. And we'd say, man, if I could just get all of those things, boy, I'd be happy and I'd be content with life and life would be great. I'll tell you, that's not true. Because as you come along, as soon as you reach a goal, you know what the flesh does? Ooh, a new goal. A new want, a new desire, a new wish, a new dream, a new hope. But if we're able to obey the Lord and follow the Lord's will for our life, we can not have all of this and not have all of that and not be in this position and not have these accolades and not have this security. And man, we can have a peace with God. Amen. We can have a fulfillment in this life. That is substantial, and that is substance in this life. And listen, to the ladies who are not married or never had children, you are not less in anyone's eyes. Especially the Lord. Especially the Lord. Why? Because he has a specific plan for you. Amen. He has a specific plan for you. And it might be difficult if your dreams and desires are one thing and the Lord gives you something else, but he has a specific plan for you, and there is great fulfillment and there is great peace in that plan that God has for you in your life. And being a sound mother is being selfless. It's being selfless. Let me say this also. Being a sound mother is to be scriptural. We're talking about sound in the likeness of sound doctrine and sound in the faith, being sound in faith. And a sound mother should be one that is not making things up by her own mind or her own emotions or her own wishes, but someone that is trying to be the mother that God wants her to be, and that's going to be someone that is scriptural. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says this. In verse 5, it says to be discreet and chaste. And then keepers at home, and then good. Discreet and chaste and good. Well, what do those mean? Well, they're defined by the Bible. Amen. That's how we know how to be these things, and what to be is by the Bible. A scriptural mother allows the Word of God to define terms and decisions and actions instead of an outside influence of the world. And they'll be scriptural. This word discreet is where we would get our term discretion. That's another Bible term, discretion. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22 says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Yeesh. That's a rough verse. It doesn't matter if you make yourself to be the jewel of gold or you make yourself to be the swine. It's a rough verse. But it says that's what a fair woman is like without discretion. Discretion is important. Discretion, or to be discreet, has something to do with prudent. It's part of the definition, to be prudent. Bible says in Proverbs 14 that the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, and that the prudent man looketh well to his going. I mentioned before, you become a parent, you become a mother, and you have this child, and you have this baby, and things are changing, and life is changing, and you're changing, and everything is just in a constant, it seems like it's in a whirlwind. And say, I don't know which way's up, but the Word of God does. Amen. I don't know which way to go, but God's there to lead and guide and direct. Amen. I don't know how to do this or how to take care of anything. I don't know what the best thing is. And yet God gave us his Word. Amen. And he gave us the scriptures so that we can read it and so that we can allow it to govern our lives and allow it to help us make decisions in this life. And it gives us discretion. It gives us the ability to make wise choices. It allows us to be prudent. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. Man, if we don't know what we're doing. There was an old timer from the Southeast, and he said one time, if you don't know where you're going, you'd be real wise to get a guide. So that seems easy. Yeah. It seems easy, but so many people don't want to find the answers. They don't want to look in the right place. It's in the right place to find the guide and to find answers to this life is in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. And to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, please help me. What is that? That's to be discreet. That's to have some discretion to be prudent in life, is to ask the Lord, how do we do this, Lord? Who do you want? What's the mother that you want me to be? And talk to the Lord, and he'll lead and guide and direct you. Another thing it says here is not only discreet, but chaste. Chaste, that word we don't use often, but it means pure. Pure. And a Christian, according to the Bible, should have a pure heart. and should have a pure mind and should have a pure conscience. We are to keep ourselves pure. That's what the Bible says. It says all those things to a Christian. And to a young woman here, a young mother, the Bible says to be chaste, to be pure. Our children should know that godly purity is important and seen in every example in our born-again mothers. It's important. Our children should understand there's a value to purity with God. There's a value to purity of our bodies and purity of our minds, to have purity in the words that we say. We should have this understanding, and mothers should be an example of purity. Listen, this is a crazy world, and it's a wicked world, and it's a filthy world. And there's a lot of things in this world that just kind of happen and go about, and we see it all of the time, but it doesn't mean it's right. And we should learn what's right. We should learn what's pure. We should learn what's holy from the Scriptures. We should allow the Bible, of course, to lead and guide and direct us. Purity in motives. Purity in modesty. There should be some things that we let the Word of God dictate to us what is pure. And that our children grow up not with the definitions of purity by the world. There is no definition of purity by the world. And if there is a definition of purity, it's laughed at and it's mocked and it's put down as something that is out of touch with reality. And that's not right. And as Christians, we shouldn't allow that to be in our homes. And this idea of purity and mothers, you have an equal part in that. You have an equal part, and as an example to your young girls and your young boys, what purity should be. To young men that are eventually looking for a wife, they should have a good example and a mother of what purity is and what they should be looking for in a wife. And they should have some good understanding. What happens, these are things that are to be taught from the elder women, the aged women, down to the younger women. And this idea of having children is, and serving the Lord, we just don't get to do what we always want to do. And God has this purpose and this plan. And a good mother is to be discreet. She's to be chaste. The Bible says she's to be good. She's to be good. Virtuous and kind would be definitions of the word good. Again, in Proverbs 31, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." Did you ever think about that? If we were to say, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above," well, what would the world tell you to think? Diamonds, right? Diamonds, that's what every young woman wants on her finger and in her ears and around her neck and on her wrists and, well, is diamonds. Show me those sparkly diamonds. But if you do some study, a ruby of great value is actually much more valuable than diamonds. We can get diamonds all over the place. Diamonds, really, the only reason diamonds are so expensive is because they keep all of the diamonds in vaults and release them at certain time periods so that you would think they're extremely rare and pay a lot of money for it. And you should pay for a diamond if you're going to get married, all right? I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying you're being scammed, all right? You're being scammed as you do it. But a ruby of great value and has that rich color, that red color, it's of far more value because there's not near as many of them. There's not near as many of them. And so what's the Bible do? It says the right thing. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." It's far above rubies. The Bible says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." The law of kindness. It's a rude world. It's not a world of kindness. And you're almost shocked now when people are kind and conversations and things happen and something is inconvenient and there's kindness, the words of kindness that are given instead of words of annoyance or anger. And a mother is to be good, to be virtuous and kind. I like to say this also. In the passage, the Bible says that a sound mother is to be steadfast. Steadfast. Say, where do you get that? The Bible says in verse number 5, to be discreet, chaste. And then it says, keepers at home. Keepers at home. Being steadfast. To be steadfast is the opposite of slothful. The opposite of slothful. A mother's ministry that is given to her is that of the home. Amen. It's given to her of the home. Now listen, this does not mean that a woman cannot work outside of the home. All right, this does not mean that the scriptures specifically says that a woman has to be in the home and that's the only place that she's ever allowed to go. It doesn't say that. All right? It doesn't say that a woman can't have work and a job outside of the home. But if a career is leading to a neglected home, it should be cautioned. And that's not popular preaching. That's not popular preaching. Why? Because, ladies, you've been lied to. That's the problem. You've been lied to. You've been lied that your worth is tied up in a career or in independence or an outside appearance. And that's not true. The Bible covers all of those areas. That's not the only value that you can have. Listen, mothers, your value is by far the greatest in the home. Dad's there and should have his part as a father and a husband, and he should be living according to what God wants him to do. But the influence is not the same. The influence is not the same. Men can't hold a candle to the influence that a mother has. It's just the truth of it. It's the truth of what it is. And listen, it's a full-time job in the home, for sure. And listen, not everybody has to do the same things that I've done. Listen, my wife and I, she worked a job before we had children, but she wanted to stay home with the children and raise our children. And thank God for it. I'm eternally grateful that she was wanting and desirous to do that. And listen, it comes with sacrifice. I know what you're told now. You're told you can't survive in this world without two careers. And that's just not true. You just can't have all the stuff you want all the time. But what do? You make some sacrifices for the little humans that God has given you. You make some sacrifices to try to do what's best. Because as I'm quickly learning, what happens? They come in, you have them for a few years, and then they all want to leave. But only the two oldest are allowed to leave, because I don't get any tax break for them anyway. All right? The two youngest have to stick around. But our influence, we have them for just a short time. And what can we do? What can we invest? What can we give to our children? And a sound mother is a steadfast mother and works hard at doing what? At raising children and being the best that we can. And allowing the home to be a place that the children where they want to be and where they want to spend time. And a place that's teaching them some rules and teaching them some character about some things. And on and on and on. I'm not going to get bogged down in a bunch of different try not to get bogged down in a bunch of different things, but a sound mother is to be steadfast, to be that anchor that is there, dependable, and children understand when they do come home that there's going to be a mother there that cares for them and loves them and wants to see what's best for them. And even when they don't understand why the rules are the rules and they don't understand why they have to do all this kind of stuff and that other people don't have to, but that to understand that the decisions are made are based out of love and based out of a steadfast mother that's trying to do her best to raise them according to the Word of God. And then I'd like to say this lastly. A sound mother, from verse number 5, a sound mother is a submitted mother. Amen. A submitted mother. Look in verse number 5. It says, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now that word submitted is a Bible word. It would mean to be yielded or to be surrendered. Surrendered would have probably been an easier choice for the fifth point here this morning, but I went with the biblical term, submitted. And listen, a sound mother is going to be submitted unto the Lord. Amen. Submitted unto God. And saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Amen. Submitted unto the things that God has showed and led and guided her to do. Submitted to her children. Not put underneath her children as if the children make all the decisions and the rules. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but submitted to live her life and give those years and to make those decisions out of love to her children. Amen. Be submitted to her children and raising her children and loving her children. And of course, biblically, being submitted to her husband. And the Bible talks about that as well. Proverbs chapter 31 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Because he knows. He knows his wife, and he sees her heart, and he sees that she is given over to him, and he can go to work, and he can do what he needs to do, and he can trust her with anything. Amen. Anything that goes on in the household and the checkbook and anything else. Why? Because she's submitted unto the Lord and to her children and to her husband to do what God wants her to do. Submitted to the Lord's will for her life. Submitted to taking care of her husband, submitted to the role that God has given to the husband to be the head of the home. And the Bible says that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. Now, there's only 3 times in the Bible that that's mentioned. And if there's something that can happen and some things that go on, the Bible says that the word of God would be blasphemed if you didn't do those. Man, that should be something to catch our eyes and to catch our hearts and say, wait a minute. I don't want to blaspheme the word of God. God help us. Hopefully you don't take the Lord's name in vain and blaspheme the Lord's name and those kind of things, right? So this idea, if there are some actions that we could do that would blaspheme the Lord and the word of God, man, we should want to stay away from those. And the Bible says, doing these things that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what God sees when he sees a sound mother doing her best? He's pleased. He's pleased. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, listen, I am going to get no less rewards as a pastor of a church than my wife will get for being the mother of our children. Because God didn't ask her to be a pastor. He actually said she couldn't be, according to the scripture. But he didn't put that on her. He put that on me. He holds me responsible for that. He doesn't hold my wife responsible for pastoring this church. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to reward her according to what he's given her to do. Amen. Ladies, whatever God's given you to do as a mother and as the responsibilities that's given to you and has put in entrusted in you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to reward you for that. Amen. He's going to reward you for being a sound mother. A sound mother is sober. She's selfless. She tries to be scriptural. She's steadfast. She's submitted. That's what a sound mother is, according to the scriptures. Children, be thankful if you have a mother like this. Tell her I love you. Call your mother today, everybody. If she's still with us. If she's local, find a way to say hi. Why? Because it matters. Mothers matter. Amen. Husbands, spoil the mother of your children every once in a while. Let her know what a great job she is doing and that you trust in her. And to you ladies that are mothers, Happy Mother's Day to you. And if any of the message applies to you and you need to work on it, then take it to the Lord. Amen. Say, Lord, help me to be better at what you've asked me to be. Amen. And who's going to benefit? Everybody's going to benefit. Everybody benefits from a mother that is sound in the Word of God. Amen. And sound in her responsibilities that God has given her. And if we had a world full of sound mothers, there'd probably be a lot less knuckleheads. Now listen, I'm proof. You can be a knucklehead with a good mom. You can just be mad and insane on your own. All right, but thank you, mothers. Thank you, mothers in this church that are doing your best. And you're trying to raise the children, your children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And bless you for it. Please take one of the little gift bags in the back before you go. Please do that, ladies. And I want you to have a great day today. And whatever it is that you're going to do from here on out, I hope it's relaxing and that you have a great day. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the scripture and the truth of it. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the mothers that are giving it their best today.